Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. You know, we always are talking about how one person can make a difference in the world. And a lot of times we hear those words and we don't think it's true for ourselves. Our next guest, though, has written an entire book that is all about showing you how you can be a good in the world. In fact, the title of the book is Be a Good in the World, 365 Days of Good Deeds, Inspired Ideas, and Acts of Kindness. Excited to welcome Brenda Knight back to our program and talk to us not only about the book, but also what it's been like for her to realize the power that she has to be able to make a difference and what she hopes you're able to realize about that same power for yourself. Brenda, hello to you, and welcome back to the show.
So happy to be here, Cyrus. Thanks for having me.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine. You know, I love this book, and I was just saying to you before we went live here that this book to me is all about action, because we've all heard talk is cheap. But this book really does force us to think of ways and look for ways that we can definitely make a difference. What has it been like for you to put the emphasis on the action, Brenda, and to show people what they can do where they are right now?
You know, I'm lucky that I got to learn all about it when I was part of the Random Acts of Kindness campaign. And, you know, it started like with one little anonymous act of kindness, you know, like putting a quarter in somebody's parking meter so they don't get a ticket, or paying their bridge toll, or paying for the coffee for the line behind you. And those little examples like sort of went viral. And this was in the mid-90s before social media. So it was really person to person. And I was so, it just changed my life. And I loved the feeling. And here's the thing about helping people and being kind, even though it's not your intention, you actually feel better too. So like you're helping somebody, but it floods your brain and your body with all those positive chemicals. So, you know, I got hooked on kindness in the mid-90s, and I've never looked back. And it became a mindset, Cyrus, and a consciousness. So that's how we can all, you know, put it into action in our daily lives. It's just by carrying it with you, like, you know, instead of walking down the street and looking at your smartphone, you know, look up, like make eye contact, smile, pay attention. And it's through that paying attention where you'll see when people need a helping hand.
Right, exactly. And I love the fact, too, Brenda, that the book is, it's not about money. It really is about our time and being able, as you were just saying, to look for those. You know, did you find that when you realized that your time, that your giving of yourself was the most valuable thing that you could do, did you find that that was part of the shift, as you were talking about the random acts of kindness, you know, that really empowered you?
Definitely. Time is the most precious thing we have. And so, you know, we all need to carry with us the, you know, the knowledge that life is short. And then also, you know, I'm once I hit 40, this is a natural thing about like humans. Most of us, you know, when we start approaching middle age, we start thinking about, why am I here? Like, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And that's actually very positive part of being human. And I, you know, maybe again, like thanks to the experience of Random Acts of Kindness, I was very aware that like at the end, when I'm an old lady, I always picture myself sitting in a rocking chair on my family farm in West Virginia. So I always think like, what am I going to be thinking about when I'm sitting there rocking? Well, I hope to be surrounded by friends, family, and loved ones. And that, like, you know, we just have all these happy memories. And the most important thing, it's not like your bank account. It's not how many stocks, how much real estate, fancy cars. The real thing you need to you know, to have with you at the end of your life is, how much love did I give? Did I make a difference in the world? Did I give enough? And I'm telling you, Cyrus, like, I started really thinking about that all the time. And I hope more people do. I do worry a little bit that our society is very caught up in, like, you know, the newest tech toy, the new, you know, just all the new stuff, material items. And that's not what life is about. Life is about how you treat people.
Right. Exactly. And I think that in itself is so important. It goes to communication and also relationships, something that all of us need to work on. You know, I wanted to kind of start, I mentioned to you before we went live, I wanted to share some of the different passages that you have in the book, Be a Good in the World. The first one is December 21st, for those who have the print edition. It's on page 258. I love the topic, Make Time to Make Memories. And you go on to say exactly what you were just referring to, which is why I went to this one, about getting the family members together, getting your friends together, and doing something together, not playing a game, not, you know, watching television or, as you said, browsing the internet, but doing that. You know, those memories are so important. And Brenda, wouldn't you agree, as you say, you know, and I think that's the thing about life. We all are dealing with, you know, how precious life is. Don't you think that that really is one of the things that we will be able to remember, those memories we create?
Absolutely. I mean, they're so important. That's really like the fabric of your life. I mean, it's what is most meaningful. One of my theories is that humans are meaning machines. We're constantly seeking meaning. And, you know, when we get distracted by technology, smartphones, you know, going to see the latest movie like every weekend, lots of action, you know, we become like sort of numb and we, you know, things mean less to us. And so we need to sort of like shake ourselves out of that. And I think every single day people need some alone time. People need to do, you know, some kind of reflection, whether that's meditation or prayer or just like, you know, sitting quietly and thinking. It's a really important thing. There's like the, you know, everybody has a job. We all work really hard. But there's also inner work. And that inner work is even more important than the outside work. And as we grow and mature as people, it becomes increasingly important.
Exactly. And I think that is so good for us all to remember. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Excited to welcome back to our program Brenda Knight. She's written a great new book. It's called Be a Good in the World, 365 Days of Good Deeds, Inspired Ideas, and Acts of Kindness. And it's interesting because, of course, it's 365 days in a year typically. And so there's something for every day. But Brenda, you also have gone through the time of making them appropriate for the various times of year. That takes a lot of work. And I love the fact, though, that you're able to show us that, you know, that life is there to teach us. June 26th, the topic is don't just go through it, grow through it. And you talk about the attitude of gratitude and how it makes a difference in our lives. How have you been able to benefit about looking at life differently and realizing situations that come our way are really lessons to teach us?
You know, I think that I have an awareness, like I sort of had an awakening, you know, and I started paying attention. And what I also like to do, this is my little fun trick when I read the paper, whether it's like the San Francisco Local Rag, San Francisco Chronicle, or the New York Times, like I try to read between the lines. And one thing I wanted to make sure to bring up with you, Cyrus, is that there's a lot of untold stories. There's a lot of good news. You know, we're hammered by bad news. If we turn on the TV, you know, you just almost want to, like, go back into bed and, like, hide under the covers. But there's a lot of good things that are not told. In fact, I'm trying to figure out how to put together an article because, like, during, like, the Ferguson riots in Baltimore, there were lots of acts of kindness, like deliberate acts of kindness and random acts of kindness that are not told. You have to actually search them for them pretty deeply. And so I want people to know that there was, like, you know, there were, like, rioters actually, like, helping the police to make sure the police were okay. There were little kids that were, like, neighborhood kids, like, you know, giving lemonade and cookies and going around and making sure that, like, both the police and, like, the peaceful protesters all were hydrated and fed. Why didn't we read about that anywhere, Cyrus? That wasn't in the news at all.
Right. Exactly. And I guess, you know, the other thing about that, I'm so glad you brought that up, is because it shows our own personal responsibility. You know, not that it's not, you know, nice to have, you know, have access to news, but we have to remember that, you know, all things are relative too. I mean, and that, you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, that old saying is so true in the world we live in, that if it bleeds, it leads, and a lot of times we don't hear about the great things. You know, that I think also goes to the personal power. Do you hope that this book does empower people, Brenda, to realize that, you know what, you don't have to wait for something to be broadcast on the news, that you can be that force yourself and be able to be that good thing?
You actually absolutely can, and I do hope that the book is inspires people, you know, lifts people up and to think like, yeah, I can do it. I don't have to be a millionaire. I don't have to be Sir Richard Branson and, like, you know, like, donate bunches of money to make a difference. You can change somebody's life with, like, one act of kindness, one penny, and all that little stuff adds up in a big way. And but, you know, I think maybe the underlying theme of the book is person to person, because I believe that people are inherently good despite all the bad news that we hear and read every day. I believe in the good in people, and that the more we remind ourselves of that, the better we'll be, and the kinder we'll be, and the better the planet will be. I put it on the Be a Good in the World of Facebook and Twitter and social media about a month ago. There was an experiment where sociologists and psychologists got toddlers together that were 2 and 3 and 4 years old, and just had them playing, and then they would have a situation where somebody needed help, you know, like an elderly man, like, you know, couldn't open a door or something like that, and they staged these things, and the toddlers all immediately ran over and were helping the elderly men, and there were like 5 or 6 different actions. And in every case, the little children, like, were immediately going to go over and help. And I thought that was so beautiful and moving to me that it didn't make it into Good in the World, the book. Hopefully there will be a sequel. But anyway, I put it on the social media because it proves what I believe is that we're inherently kind, and that we just need to remind ourselves and, like you said earlier, take action. Whatever it is, whatever small thing it is, it's making a difference in the world.
Right, exactly. Another powerful one that is not easy that you mention in the book is on October the 10th, Brenda, quit feeling sorry for yourself. And I think, you know, that in itself is so easy, you know, for us to do, to feel sorry for ourselves when we're going through something. But I think, you know, the great thing that you show in that particular day is how that, you know, no matter what we're going through, there are always going to be people who are in worse situations, are going through equally trying situations. Do you also find that to be a great reminder for us all, that, you know, that the world may seem to be crashing down around us, but there are always individuals out there who definitely have more pressing needs?
Absolutely. No matter what you're going through, there's somebody right on your block that's going through something 10 times worse. And so I learned an important lesson when I was in my early 20s and I just moved from West Virginia to San Francisco, and I met a young man and we fell in love, and then, like, we broke up, and I was really, really heartbroken. And I was fortunate enough to live next door to a priest, and he saw me moping around, and he said, "Brenda, I want you to come with me to Glide Memorial Church." And I said, "Church?" It just sounded like, not, you know, where was I going to find a new boyfriend at church, right? So I went with him, just mostly out of duty, really, or niceness. And he was a very wise person. He, instead of going upstairs to the pews, he took me downstairs to the basement where they had the kitchen that served soup and food to homeless people. And so he introduced me as the new helper, and he said, "Have her do whatever, but I think she needs to, like, serve food. I think that she needs to, you know, participate in that." Within 5 minutes, I was laughing and smiling and saying, "Hello, how are you, sir?" Like, I definitely, somehow my mother's good teachings, like, you know, rose up within me, and I was super respectful to everyone, even the most bedraggled homeless person. I gave them eye contact. I said, "How are you?" you know, let me know if you need any more servings, you want another roll, you know, enjoy your meal, have a wonderful afternoon, thank you for coming. And I was completely forgot that I was heartbroken. You know, what boyfriend? I felt so alive too, Cyrus. That was the thing, is that when I was helping, and I think this is true for many of us, when you're in the action, when you're in the doing, when you're in the moment of the act of kindness, you feel more alive than ever, because it's something, I think it's our part of our purpose as humans, to give and to connect.
Wow. So true. There's two more of these that I want to actually reference, and then we're going to let our listeners know how they can get the book for themselves, Brenda. One of them is an interesting one, and it's one that I have learned in the years of doing this show that is definitely important, and that is, it seems like such a little thing, but it is such a big thing. And you mentioned it on July the 19th, stop interrupting others when they are speaking. And you say this about the importance of that and the importance of listening. Listening is an act of love. Again, that seems like such a little thing, but why have you found that to be so important for us when it comes to, for one thing, showing attention to others, but also showing love to others?
You know, I think it came around for me. One of my best friends is like kind of a genius. Her name is Lillian, but she can get very, very morose. And so, you know, I would always feel like I had to come up with the answer or fix her or whatever the problem was, like come up with the solution. And at a certain point, I realized she actually doesn't need me to, like, tell her what to do. All she needs me to do is listen. And so I try to just do that, just be, you know, and just really, really give deep listening and reflective listening. I didn't have to come up with the answers because I couldn't have any way. And something in me really shifted and something in her really shifted. And so I think at that point I realized that listening is one of the greatest acts of love you can, and that's all people need. You know, William James, who is the brother of the great novelist Henry James, but he was one of the foundational psychologists in 19th century America, he said, all people need is to be affirmed. That's all they need. That's their greatest need besides food and shelter and rest, is to be affirmed. And I read that quote like a few years ago, and I thought, you know what? Bingo. William James nailed it. And so I started trying to affirm people, you know, at work and in my friends and my family. Just affirm. And a lot of times that is just high quality listening. And then because I was being a listener, I also noticed that people interrupt. And I do think America has become a nation of interrupters. And so you need to watch yourself, catch yourself doing it, and stop it. And once you've stopped yourself from interrupting, you'll notice how often people interrupt each other. And so it's just a funny little thing in our culture. And I hope that, like, maybe by mentioning this and be a good in the world, that it's a reminder to not interrupt, to truly listen. And then when you really need to be heard, you'll have somebody to listen to you.
Right. Exactly. Such an important thing. The last one that I want to mention, and I think, again, this is a great one for us all, and that is June 4th, Brenda. Agree to disagree. And I actually want to read all of this, if you don't mind. This is what you wrote.
Oh, please do.
Yeah. Respect the choices of others. We may not always agree with our loved ones, but increase peace by respecting their decisions and being there for them regardless. If everyone thought alike, think how boring it would be. Our differences enrich our lives, and all the more so when handled respectfully. I wanted to read that because we live in a world today and we see it all over the place, and, you know, in our day-to-day lives, online, where people are, you know, just feel like they have the right to tell you what you should be doing, you know, how you should be and, you know, what you should be up to. You know, talk to us about this one for you and why this is one of the best things we can do for not only ourselves but for others, and that is to respect who people are and respect the individuals that we all are.
Yes, I mean, I'm not sure how, again, this came about in our culture that we need to all agree on everything. Debate is actually very, very healthy. And minds can be changed and opened by real deep discussions. You know, perhaps because of like politics and the news, you know, the mass news media, we're actually only really giving talking points. And in fact, like I remember about 12 years ago, a media coach was coaching one of our authors. Our authors wanted to be, you know, like ready for like national TV. And this coach said, when they ask you a question, if it's not one of your talking points, just ignore it and go back to your talking points. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. And then I started noticing that, like, when you're saying, like, you know, whatever, whoever the politician is, they are just going on their talking points, and you can even, like, tell, you know, like, party agendas and things like that, because you'll hear a bunch of the same talking points being mouthed by every single person of the party. And I thought, what is this? It's just sort of like media brainwashing or whitewashing or something, and there's no real debate and no real discussion going on. And we have to get back to, hey, I don't have to agree with you. In fact, like, if I don't, and we really go deeply and discuss our different points of view, we're both going to learn more about each other. We may learn something really important that we didn't know about whatever the issue is. So I think that I would love for, you know, America to, like, go back to, like, you know, having, you know, Greek conversations. And here I am having a conversation with the master of conversation, Cyrus Webb. So obviously you've been at the forefront of this. But I think that, like, we should go back and, like, really talk. And, again, that involves a lot of listening. But it also means that you need to be prepared to express your point of view very thoughtfully. So it could just come down to thoughtfulness. And I think that in our rush, rush, rush society, we want to just grab on the first thing and then be done and mark it off our checklist. Done. No. Slow down. Really think, really consider, really read, really study, really converse, have a true conversation. And we're all going to be so much more enriched, and actually we'll be more interesting people.
Right, exactly. Well, I appreciate the compliment in there, Brenda, and I'm glad to be able to do my part as you have been able to do and then be able to inspire so many people. So we definitely appreciate your contribution. And this book, I think, will also encourage us all to be able to see how we can be more of a force in the world. Again, everyone, Brenda Knight has been our guest. Be a Good in the World is the title of the book, 365 Days of Good Deeds, Inspired Ideas, and Acts of Kindness. Brenda, at the end of the year, at the end of the book of taking this in day by day, what is your hope, I mean, as far as how we can begin to turn the page and to create a shift in the way that we think and act toward one another?
You know, I hope that people remember what I said and what I talk about and Be a Good in the World, to take some me time, to do some inner work and, like, develop yourself. And then also, you should try to see, how can I serve in my own neighborhood? And so I know there's one, I think it's in May, called Be a Good in Your Hood. And right in your own backyard, you can make a difference, whether it's picking up trash, participating in the greening or tree planting in your neighborhood or whatever. You know, one of the things I do is, like, spend money in my own tiny little neighborhood, because I want to put my money where my love is, you know, where my life is. So I'm hoping that people just develop your awareness, develop your consciousness about being kind. And so just do a little something every day for yourself and for others. And, like, you're not going to regret it. You're going to get hooked on kindness just like I did.
Yeah. And what a great thing to be hooked on, for sure. Again, everyone, Brenda Knight has been our guest. Brenda, how can our listeners stay connected with you and keep up with what's coming up next for you?
Well, I have a blog, which is Lower Hate Holler. They can email me at my name, brenda.knight.com. And there's a lot of social media, like Be a Good in the World, Twitter feed, Facebook, Tumblr, et cetera. And, you know, the good folks at Barnes & Noble, like, are getting hooked on kindness, and they have stacks of Be a Good in the World in the front of every store. So they were really supportive of Random Acts of Kindness and made it a bestseller. So I want to give a shout out to ye olde Barnes & Noble and say, you can get Be a Good in the World there.
All right. Well, definitely enjoy that. You know, again, I appreciate the conversation, Brenda, and it goes without saying. You're welcome back here anytime. Looking forward to the next conversation with you.
Thank you. Stay kind.
All right. We'll definitely do that. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late and you missed part of the segment with Brenda, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends. You all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. All you have to do is go to our social media links at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or head over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb, and you can listen to the show from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.